Hello, everyone. I'm Mike Amerlon. I am a product marketing manager on the Office ecosystem team. So I work with a number of different technologies. I work across SharePoint, things like Teams, things like Microsoft Graph, all across Office 365. And so today, I'm going to talk to you a little bit about how you can use Microsoft Graph. This is our set of APIs for all across Office 365, and in fact, all across Microsoft more generally, that you can use inside of your applications and that you can build with .NET. Now, at the end of this session, what you should be able to see is that you will be able to sort of understand Microsoft Graph, you know, what it's used for, what's available through it, the kinds of things that you can go ahead and see that you can develop against, you know, different types of, you know, products and how they're represented inside of Microsoft Graph, you know, some key scenarios, and hopefully you'll have a little bit of a set of ideas about how you can build an application. Fundamentally, if you're building an application, oh, sorry about that. Looks like it lost my connection. Is it? Let's see. Hold on just a second for that. So, yeah, I think it's the presenter view. Presenter view. All right. Is that okay? Great. Sorry about that interruption. Okay, so yeah, so as I was saying, we're going to talk a little bit about Microsoft Graph and the entire set of scenarios. Office 365 has so many different applications that can really be sort of, you know, tools in your toolbox as you go and build business applications. Really, if you're building a business application, whether for your company or for your customers, there's probably no reason why you wouldn't want to connect to Office 365, and I hope that's one takeaway of this session. Then secondly, we'll talk a little bit about, you know, the technical details behind Microsoft Graph, what's available, how you connect to it, what it looks like, and how you can get started. And then finally, as .NET developers, I'll explore the different options that you have for connecting your .NET applications over into Microsoft Graph so that you can get started working right away. My hope is that you have this idea that if you are going to build a business application, if you're using .NET, I hope you'll find that it'll take you maybe 10, 15, 20 minutes to go integrate it into your application, integrate some sign-in, and from there, you can power your applications with all that's available through Office 365. Okay, so let's dig in. So Microsoft Graph really is this idea of a graph. It starts with this, you know, this notion that across Office 365, you have things like, you know, mail and Outlook and SharePoint files and, you know, people and groups, and they're all connected together. And so when you develop against it, it really should be that easy. It should work like a graph. If I want to go get the set of files that are related to my colleagues, I start by looking at my colleagues, and then I can go grab the files associated with them. Throughout this, we'll talk a little bit about the opportunity that you can leverage and harness from this Microsoft Graph. We'll talk a little bit about the fundamentals, and then we'll dig into how you can code against it and how you can work with it. Now, let me back up a little bit and just talk a bit about Office 365. So Office 365 is growing quite considerably. You know, 90% of Fortune 500 companies are using Microsoft Office 365 in some form. And typically what that also means is that the users in that organization are also connected to Microsoft Azure Active Directory, because that powers the authentication system behind Office 365. So if you need to do anything with users, if you want to do sign-in, if you want to do authentication and authorization and connect to users that are working inside of organizations, you're probably going to want to use Azure Active Directory. You're probably going to want to connect to that. And Office 365 has been sort of such a really large driver of that kind of adoption of Azure Active Directory for sign-in. Now, we recently announced that Office 365 has over 100 million commercial active users. So there's chances are, if you're working with an organization, they've got some people that are using Office 365. And as you can imagine, you know, tools like PowerPoint, tools like Word and Outlook, these really serve as the core of what people are working with, you know, for hours a day. So if you can just build one integration that maybe saves them a little bit of time, you know, multiplied by that number of users, you can really boost the productivity of an organization. We have over 50,000 new businesses that start with Office 365 every month. And of course, there's just trillions of resources, things like emails and things like groups that are hosted inside of Office 365. And that is all exposed to you through Microsoft Graph. Now, as I mentioned, Microsoft Graph starts with this idea of a graph. You know, at the core of it really is people. You know, finding more information about the user who signed into your application more specifically, but also the relationships to other people inside of the organization. We do that through things called groups. We do that through this concept of organization hierarchy. You know, who do I work for? Who are my reports? That kind of thing. You can access these as probably the starting building blocks of building applications on top of Microsoft Graph. Of course, you can then also look into other types of things. For example, the contacts that people might store inside of their Outlook, inboxes, so to speak, connections to other people, and then also things like, the sites that they use to organize information inside of SharePoint that they're connected to as well. Now, layered on top of this is a lot of content. Across Office 365, of course, you'll find things like files inside of a SharePoint site. You'll find events inside of your calendar. Of course, email is a very big and powerful capability that people frequently want to use. Also things like, tasks inside of Microsoft Planner. For example, if you think about scenarios where, you have people doing work inside of your application and you want to record it as a task, you can use the Tasks API inside of Microsoft Graph. It gets exposed inside of the Microsoft Planner application. And now you've got an easy sort of task tracking system that you can essentially layer onto your existing application because that content is available through Office 365. Quick question that just came in. When should we use the Graph API versus a PowerShell script to pull Office 365 data? If you're doing like maybe the question was, when should I use PowerShell versus Graph? I think if you're frequently doing migrations or sort of administrative tasks, I mean, typically that would be a great case in point for using PowerShell. If you're building applications or you're building tools that might have a longer lifespan, and of course, if you're more comfortable with writing code, whether it's in JavaScript or of course .NET, then Graph API is sort of your choice as a foundational API to go build out an application. So I think it kind of comes back to the traditional, like, when should you use PowerShell versus when should you go write an application? In the latter case, if you're going to write an application, then you're going to definitely want to use the Graph API as the foundation for that. Okay, so of course, on top of the content and on top of the people, of course, there's things like conversations as well that are happening inside of Office 365. So this is things like the mails in your inbox. We're working on having beta APIs of Microsoft Teams, so you'll be able to work with some of those conversations and some of those bits and pieces of content as well. We also have conversations that are associated with Microsoft Groups that you'll see a little bit later as well. And then finally, the really cool thing on top of Office 365 and Microsoft Graph is it's not just being able to get at the content, although that's important, but it's also the insights and things that get generated on top of it. So as you work inside of Office 365, there's a search engine. That search engine does things like sort of aggregates insights such that it tries to figure out the relationships between people that may be sort of hidden behind the scenes. So for example, if I share a lot of documents with Susan in my organization, even if I don't have an organizational relationship to Susan, the fact that I'm, working with Susan a lot, as often happens inside of a company, that kind of insight gets generated inside of Microsoft Graph. It's generated as we sort of reason over the content with the search engine. We show that information inside of applications like Microsoft Delve, but you as a developer can actually access those insights as well. So, being able to get at the real relationships between people, things like documents that are trending, all those kinds of insights are also layered inside of Microsoft Graph. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about the fundamentals. We'll talk a bit first about the data that's available to you inside of Microsoft Graph, and then we'll zoom into some of the capabilities that are layered on top of Graph. So first and foremost, the idea is, we wanted to organize all these different products that we've previously had under one consistent API, graph.microsoft.com. So you can navigate to that today, but it's also the API endpoint that your applications will connect to when you actually want to start working with Microsoft Graph. So the really great thing about this is that you don't need to, for example, ask users, hey, what company do you work for? What's your company's domain name? Is it contoso.sharepoint.com or something like that? You just go to graph.microsoft.com, the user will sign in, and once you sign in, you can access all the information about their Office 365 context, where's their sites at, all that kind of information, it becomes available to you, and your application doesn't have to actually try to ask users those questions, which might have happened before if you had to access specific APIs for specific resources inside of Office 365. The other benefit about it is that there's one token, there's one authentication system that you're going to want to use to actually sign in users in. So if you want to work with some data that comes from Exchange or from sort of the mail services inside of Office 365 and then work with some SharePoint data, you don't have to sign into two separate systems. It's just one token. You request the permissions that you need. If the user consents, then you get an OAuth token that you can use to access those different services. So you don't need to have multiple sign-ins, and you don't need to have different types of sign-in experiences. It's really just one, and you're sort of ready to access all of the data that's inside of Microsoft Graph. Now, the benefit about this as well is that we're adding products over time. So you know, for example, we started off with some core services and things like Outlook and calendaring and mails and messages. And then we added more products, things like Planner, things like OneNote. And so over time, you can see that we're sort of continually, month over month, adding new APIs and services. There's a Teams API that's now in preview that you can access. There's this Project Roam that we talked about at Build, which is a way, you know, from the Windows organization to have consistent state that sort of traverses across different contexts and applications. That's in preview. SharePoint sites, so the home for Teams on their corporate intranet, where their documents are, those are now generally available, as well as OneNote APIs are now generally available. But I hope the one thing that you'll take away is that over time, we're going to be adding more services, adding more products into it. So even if you build expertise in Graph today, you'll be able to use that moving forward to access more products. It's really a good investment. Planner is another one as well. Okay, so let's just talk a little bit about what this looks like from a developer perspective. So we'll start with this idea of, just starting with the sort of the hello world sample of, I want to get information about a particular user or somebody who's signed in. So to do that, Graph is basically a REST-based service. And so as a REST-based service, you just go /user/MikeAm. And what you'll do is, of course, then get the sort of standard organizational properties about this guy named MikeAm, which is me. My job title, that kind of thing as well. Now, of course, if you want to do access other resources that are related to this user, things like their picture or things like maybe their manager or their direct reports, you can go ahead and access them just by sort of, again, extending suffixes on like /manager or /direct reports, and you'll get the JSON representations of them. So it's a resource-based API. It's really, REST-based. In addition, you can do things like, call some functional APIs, things like what kind of groups am I a member of. So, for example, you'll find that if you call /me/member of, you'll get the set of groups that a person is a member of. And so you can get a little bit more information about the security context for those particular users. Now, from there, you can then go ahead through those REST APIs and start to access, things like files and content and documents. So /messages, /OneNote, /notebooks, /planner tasks. Those are all available through REST. I'm sort of talking about some GET APIs here, which of course is our way of actually retrieving information. But if you want to go update that information and if you have the permissions represented through your OAuth token, then you'd want to use posts or patches to create new or update existing items inside of that Microsoft Graph as well. Now, as I mentioned, one of the really cool things about Microsoft Graph is it's not just the ability to read and write data across a whole bunch of different services. You can actually do things like get those insights. So things like, what are some trending documents based on open behavior? What are some documents that people are sharing and those kinds of things? What are some recent files that people have used, for their saving or reading types of operations? One of the things that we did inside of Outlook, something that people tend to love as a feature, is that when you go and attach a file inside of Outlook, rather than just showing a simple file picker, what we do is we actually show you the 5 recent files that you've been working with that are stored inside of your file, your OneDrive. And so chances are, if you're about to attach a file to a mail, you've actually been working with it fairly recently. And if you've been working with it fairly recently, it's going to be something that's listed in that dropdown, so it's a one-click experience rather than opening up a file dialog and trying to find the file and go pick it out and go see where you actually saved it out. Very popular because it just streamlines things just that little bit more, but you can build those kinds of integrations with Microsoft Graph and pull them into your own application. Another nice thing is we have some functional APIs, as I mentioned, on top of Microsoft Graph. So one of them is you have this ability to get everybody's calendar events if you have the permissions to do so. Now, of course, if you wanted to find an available meeting time, it'd be fairly difficult to take everyone's calendars, merge them all together, deal with all the kinds of exceptions and those kinds of things. So what we did was we took a lot of that functional logic for actually detecting when's a good meeting time, and we wrapped it into an API called Find Meeting Times. So you can actually do things like take a set of users and say, what's a good time for them to go ahead and sort of get a meeting time that works for them. So some functional APIs exposed as well. And then finally, some things like search. So you can, for example, look for people based on a particular attribute, a particular topic that they have expertise with. So you can do different types of searches and queries as well for a given resource inside of Microsoft Graph in addition. Now, that's a little bit of a look at the set of APIs that you can call, the data that's accessible, the insights that you can call into it, and we'll show you a little bit later how you can actually play with that a little bit more deeply. But on top of Microsoft Graph is a consistent set of capabilities. These are things that you can do to actually add more functionality and take more from Microsoft Graph. Now, first among these is a consistent set of traversal behavior and semantics for being able to look at information. So you can go, call these APIs. You can then go drill into related items, the files that are associated with a person or a group. So there's a consistent way to traverse relationships. We have standard query parameters for doing things like sorting and filtering and doing paging type of operations on top of these collections of items. So that's fairly consistent. Now, we've also adding more capabilities. So the ability to do batching operations, get multiple requests all in one particular batch, that's working towards preview. So you can do these batching type of operations and pull them all together. In addition, we have a number of different sort of notification systems, specifically webhooks. So as things change inside of Office 365, as new emails come in or as new files get added to a OneDrive, you actually have an ability to have a webhook, basically a web service that Microsoft Graph will call into and say, oh, by the way, something has changed. You should go react and do something with that. So we have an expanding set of objects that you can actually do these types of previews with. So you can actually go ahead and hook into them and build business processes around the changes that are happening inside of organizations. We have more facilities for actually being able to track changes. So simply get a list of, in this particular file library or in this particular inbox, give me the set of changes that have happened in the last 3 hours so that I don't have to try to write a sync operation that will try to compare all objects in a particular folder. I just want to get the set of changes that have happened most recently. And then finally, this is a really cool one. I like it a lot. It's this idea that you can actually extend Microsoft Graph as well. So, common objects inside of Microsoft Graph, like people and groups, you can actually build your own custom data extensions that hang on top of them. So you can, for example, associate a foreign key, for example, for a group, maybe with your back-end line of business system. But then with that, you can actually connect Microsoft Graph and objects inside of it to your back-end systems and associate a little bit of metadata with those as well. So as a case in point, this is just a simple example of doing a batching type of operation to combine multiple requests into one call. Again, fairly useful if you're building a mobile application or a web application. You want to make sure it's very performant. You can do that. And notifications and track changes, I'll show you a little bit of a sample of this later. But the idea behind this is that you can do things like get a set of delta changes that have happened to a collection. In this case, give me all of the messages that have changed since the last time I looked at it. You can do subscriptions. And taken together, what you can do is you can build web services that actually do synchronization operations against Microsoft Graph. And then finally, this is just a little bit of an example of extending Microsoft Graph, having both open extensions, sort of arbitrary properties that you can associate with an object, and in addition, having this concept of schema extensions. It's a way to register your own type of schema. For example, every group is a kind of a type of a training course, and then have additional metadata that you associate with that group that then you can go ahead and sort and filter and query it based on, as you see in the example below. So it's just a fairly powerful capability to take everything that's at the core of an enterprise, things like people and files, and sort of connect them to your back-end systems and associate additional metadata as well. So with that, let's go ahead and take a quick look at some of the code and some of the logic behind this. I've taken kind of the high-level architectural view of Microsoft Graph, and I've talked about it as a REST service. We'll get to the .NET in just a little bit, but I wanted to sort of give you a little bit of the backing behind Microsoft Graph and how it works. Okay, so I'm going to go escape out of PowerPoint. Let me go do that. And I'm going to go to my browser. So in this case, I'm just going to go to graph.microsoft.com. So when I go to graph.microsoft.com, you'll see that there's a number of samples, there's some SDKs here, and there's, of course, a linkage to the .NET and ASP.NET MVC samples and SDKs. So if you want to go download those and take a quick look, you can go do that. But the really interesting tool here is something called Graph Explorer. Now, Graph Explorer allows you to experiment and play with Microsoft Graph data. It's really kind of, if you're a developer, for me, it's kind of a kid in a candy store kind of an experience, because there's all these different APIs that are available to you here that you can start to work with. You can use it even if you don't have an Office 365 account. There's a mode where you basically work in read-only mode against a set of sample data. But if you have a Microsoft Graph an Office 365 account, a Microsoft Graph account, you can sign in and then you can start to work with your data. Now, chances are you may have a Graph account that's associated to your company, an Azure AD account that's associated to your company, but what you can do is if you actually go to dev.office.com, you can sign up for a developer tenancy, which is your own, you know, Office 365 tenancy that can become your own personal playground for experimenting with Office 365, developing and building applications on top of Office 365, and actually playing with things like Graph APIs as well. So I highly recommend that if you're actually going to go build applications with Microsoft Graph, you have one of these, you know, sort of developer tenancies that you can work with. It you know, you can experiment with more freedom on top of it, and that's what I've done here. So in this case, you can see that there's a number of different queries that are available to me that I can go fill out. So you'll see here that this will then go fill in some properties on top of, you know, it basically says it's going to do a GET request against graph.microsoft.com/v1.0/me. If I do a run query, you can see down below what this has done is it's actually retrieved the core metadata about, you know, me as a particular user. So you can see that it's got my phone number, it's got my email address, my mobile phone number, you know, where my office location is, and sort of the core metadata that's associated with me. However, you know, what you can also do is you can do things like patch operations. So in this case, maybe I want to go update the information about me. So what I'll do is I'll change my office location to Redmond. I'm moving from the Nebraska office to Redmond. What this will do is it'll actually update the existing state information about me. So when I run this query, it's going to go return a success, status code 204. And so now, if I actually do that GET operation again to read the information that's inside of Microsoft Graph, I go ahead and hit run query, and you can see that now the REST, the JSON that comes back says my office location is now in Redmond. So what you can see here is it's just simple REST semantics, and you know, even as a .NET developer, there are some great SDKs, as you'll see, but even if you just are doing structuring REST-based queries, it should be fairly straightforward to get this kind of information. You know, that's just a sort of a very brief example. You know, there's a number of other APIs. So for example, if I want to get all the items inside of my folder, that is a slash me, so starting with me as a person. Now, you can also fill in, you know, people's email addresses and the like if you want to get information about other people in your organization, but start with me. I'll go access my personal OneDrive folder, which is slash drive. I'll get the go get the root folder that's associated with my OneDrive, so the core directory, if you will. And then finally, I'll go get the children. And what this will do is it'll return a list of files that are actually stored inside of my OneDrive. So as you can see down here, it's a JSON response, and there's just a number of different properties for, you know, who was this document created by, who was it modified by, you know, some ID information and some basic properties about the file. And then from there, I can do things like go ahead and get the binary value of that file if I want to, you know, maybe download it and work with it. So you can see how you can start to work with OneDrive, as we'll see, as basically a sort of a file repository, and that becomes accessible to you through Microsoft Graph. There's a number of other things in here. You can see information about like who my manager would be. So, you know, it's commonly the case if you're building like a workflow application or a business process. Maybe if I'm out of the office, then you want to go email my manager to make sure that a given process, you know, stays on track. And that's, you know, a very common activity, and you can expose that kind of information and retrieve it from Microsoft Graph. Now, there's a whole bunch of other examples all throughout here. You know, users, groups, Outlook Mail, OneDrive, Excel, SharePoint, et cetera. So there's a whole number of samples that are available to you here that you can go play with. If there's one takeaway from the session, just go to graph.microsoft.com. You know, go sign in, go get a developer tenancy to play around with, and then go experiment with the kind of data that you can work with. Hopefully you'll take away some, you know, some ideas that you'll use in a future application as well. So I highly recommend sort of working with Microsoft Graph. It's great to work with. Okay. All right, so that's a little bit of Graph Explorer. It's this tool for, you know, basically simulating and building REST queries. We'll take a little bit of a deeper look at it later as well as we work through our code samples. So hopefully you've got a little bit of a sense of the kinds of things that Microsoft Graph is good for, and the kind of things that you can build with it. You know, intelligent business processes, again, processes that are smart enough to know, for example, when I'm out of the office or who my manager is or who my direct reports are or who I'm working with. These are very core things that, you know, are sort of the key to making a business process that actually works well inside of an organization versus one that derails quickly and doesn't provide as much value as it could. things like smart meetings. So being able to find the right people, connect them together, connect them to their notebooks or tasks or those kinds of things, those become very key. Microsoft Graph has a number of different SDKs, as you'll see, so you can connect to it from a variety of different devices. And also, because it's REST APIs, of course, even if we don't have an SDK, you can maybe connect to it from an IoT device and actually get information from there. There's more graph-powered bots that we're seeing because bots are powered by information, they're powered by knowledge, and Microsoft Graph tends to have that kind of information about a person in an organization that you can then go connect to. Building dashboards, so being able to see all the different stats for the people on my team. Well, chances are for your team, there's a group that represents that. And so if you want to get the list of members of a team, accessing that group through Microsoft Graph is going to be the way to go. Okay, so now that we've talked a little bit about Microsoft Graph and you've got a little bit of a sense of the kinds of things that you can build with it, let's talk a little bit more detail about how to work with it. So as I mentioned, it's a REST-based API, and it uses standard REST semantics, get, post, patch, put, and delete, for being able to read, create, update, and update and delete as well. Now there's two versions of it. There's basically a V1.0 endpoint, which represents all of our generally available APIs. And then there's also a beta endpoint, which actually represents more of the preview APIs that we have that are a bit more experimental. So depending on your scenario, you'll maybe want to play with some things in beta, but you shouldn't ship apps until they're actually in the V1.0 endpoint. And of course, things that are in the beta endpoint, you have to keep in mind that those might update over time, as we sort of go towards general availability. Now, there's a set of resources that are underneath this API, so things like users and groups and sites. So, a lot of times you'll start with /me because you want to find out more information about the signed in user, but a lot of times maybe you just want to go iterate over all the sites or work with a specific group, and those endpoints have /groups that are available to you as well. And if you want to get specific members or specific properties, those are just things that you chain on to the end of those particular URLs. If you want to traverse, like you want to, for example, see all the events that are related to a person, you can do that through the /events API. And then, as I mentioned earlier, we have a number of different query parameters that you can use that are available to you that to do things like selecting and filtering and sorting as well. So this is just a sample set of queries. I showed you a couple of these in the Microsoft Graph Explorer, but you can see how you can do things like, for example, finding all the important messages by just doing a simple filter on importance equals high, doing things like, here's all the groups that I'm a member of that have this particular token or string in them, so you can find the groups that are maybe related to a particular team, and so on and so forth. Okay, so let's go a little bit more into some demos and examples of how you can work with it. So first up, what I'll do here is just do a very simple example of working with Microsoft Graph inside of a Xamarin application. So in this case, I've basically got this Hello World application. It's implemented in Xamarin. And what you'll see is, let me just go start it up. I'm going to start the Universal Windows version of this particular sample. So we'll go sign in. In fact, I think I've already signed in, so it'll probably automatically sign in for me. So this is going to start up. Of course, there's also an Android version of this. There's an iOS version of this. So you could go that way as well. So in this case, not a very interesting sample. What it's basically just done is it's actually gone to that Microsoft Graph endpoint and actually pulled in information about me, just my simple display name, my surname, and some basic information about me. It could show my manager. It could show, it could pull down my picture. A lot of times in applications, you just want to show the user's picture. Maybe not mine, but you want to show the user's picture. And so you can get through that API as well. So let me just show you what this example looks like under the covers. Now, in this particular case, I'm going to use an authentication library called the Microsoft Authentication Library, or MSAL. And this is our sort of our newer authentication library that allows you to authenticate against Azure Active Directory, which is really the heart of working with Microsoft Graph. So in this case, the way the sample works is before I actually get started and actually build this application, you have to have an application registration entry for this. And from that, you'll get a client identifier. So let me show you a little bit of what that looks like. And let me zoom in just really quickly so maybe you can see it a bit better. There's this client identifier. So to start with in building our application, what we're going to want to do is just go to apps.dev.microsoft.com, like so. And what you'll see here, let's go sign in. I'm going to sign in with my live ID in this case that I'm developing with. Sorry. Password anxiety. Okay, so let me go save that. Okay, so of course, I've been doing a lot of development, so I've been creating a lot of applications, but if you want to create your own Microsoft Graph application, this is a great place to start. You just go click Add an App, and what you're going to do is define that sort of common identifier that represents your application. So in this case, I'll call it, you know, .NET Conf Test App, like so. I'll just go ahead and skip out of the guided setup and click Create. And so what you'll see here is a very simple registration page that allows me to configure the basic information in my application. Once this creates up, you can see that you can generate a standard client identifier in secret if you need to do that for your particular type of application. And then there's a couple of gateways to actually, you know, connecting this to things like web applications, you know, mobile applications, and web APIs. In my case, let's go ahead and pick the web API. And then, you know, for sort of web-based OAuth redirect flows, I can do things like specify my redirect URLs, which is where I'll get navigated to once a user is fully signed in. So here you define all the key properties of your application as far as sign-in is concerned, and this is usually the first step that you're going to want to do when you go and build your application. From this, you get this application identifier, which I already have created, and so this is, you know, stored as a constant variable inside of my particular Xamarin application. Now, the other nice thing about the MSAL 2.0 library, which is that newer authentication library, is that you can actually dynamically say when your app starts up, here's the kinds of things that I'm interested in. I want to be able to read a user's properties, and I also want to be able to read all of the SharePoint sites that that user is associated with. So I can dynamically declare the scopes or the permissions that I have access to, and the user will have to consent and grant my application access to those scopes the first time I ever sign in with that application. Now, the MSAL actual library starts with this public client application object. I pass that in my client identifier, and then, you know, that sort of initializes that authentication framework for the rest of my session. And then inside of my page, what you'll see here, it's some very simple code. What I'm going to do is say, hey, you know, public client application from MSAL, go ahead and acquire a token silently. If the user's already signed in, then go see if you can actually go fetch their active authentication token. And if I can actually go ahead and do that, then I'm going to go update the data and go pull down some of those REST services. Now, if that doesn't work, it's going to say, hey, you need to go ahead and sign in. And if the user does choose to sign in, then what we're going to do is now say application.publicClientApplication acquire token async. So this is not silent. This is going to actually ask the user to sign in. It's going to pop up a dialog. Now, that web dialog will go connect to the Microsoft Authentication Service. The user will have to go sign in. They'll have to go consent if they haven't consented before or if your permissions have changed. And then once that succeeds, what will happen is it will go update the data. And then there's also a sign out button for actually removing the set of signed in users so that you'll have to sign in again. Okay, so now the actual code behind this is fairly simple. It's basically just, you know, REST 101. So here I'm instantiating this HTTP client object. I'm going to go call this particular endpoint, graph.microsoft.com/v1.0/me, which we saw in Graph Explorer earlier. I'm going to add on my OAuth token. You know, now that I've signed in, now that I have permission, I'm just going to go tack that token onto the header. And from there, it's really just, you know, parsing JSON, you know, structuring URLs, those kinds of things, and you're off to the races. So you can go build those applications. In this case, I've just done some very simple things. Now, in my case, what I could go do is I could then, I can go ahead and, you know, maybe add some additional XAML here. Excuse me. That's not XAML. All right, so I've added some XAML here for, you know, holding a list of SharePoint site URLs, because maybe I want to actually not just retrieve information about the user, but I want to retrieve the set of, you know, sites that that user is associated with and retrieve the list within that site that the user has access to. Maybe I want to build a list picker, so to speak. Okay, so now if I come back to my code here, you can see that we already have some placeholder code here for actually signing into the SharePoint site. So let's go try that. Let's see, let me do this real quick. So again, so I'm going to restart this up, and what you should see is now when it signs in a second time, it's going to go compile, it's going to go do all the standard stuff for Xamarin. You know, you'll notice that I'm just editing this in my sort of core project, so these changes will sort of just seamlessly apply across all of my other different applications. And, you know, it's connecting, it's opening up. And it also signed me in. And so what you should see here, it didn't actually fill out that data. Let me go try that one more time. Let's see. Hold on a second. Let me just do this one more time. Yeah, let's try this again. Ooh, actually, I pasted too much. Excuse me. Sorry. Okay, so as you can see here, I'm just going to do another call to this graph.microsoft.com/beta/sites/root. So this is actually calling the beta endpoint. Now, a lot of the sites data is actually now generally available, but the list information still is in preview. So for that, I actually have to go call that beta endpoint. I'm going to go parse the response, and then I'm going to also go retrieve the set of lists. And then I'm going to go paste that into my XAML object. So let's try this. Now it should go ahead and fill out the right information. I'm going to go compile, make it all available and ready, boot up the application. You're familiar with the drill. And so, you know, now what you should see is a very simple list view that will sort of pull down some basic site information. And then, you know, here's the SharePoint site that that's at the root of my, my Office 365 tenancy. And then you can see that within this, here's all the lists that are available to me from that SharePoint site. Now, the cool thing about this is that you see that, a SharePoint site has a ton of different, lists and libraries that are used for implementation. So you're not just the ones that are visible in the user experience, but you can actually really get it, things like the content type sync log, if you're really interested in working with that. All those objects are now available to you through Microsoft Graph. Okay. So that's just really kind of the hello world to get you started with using Microsoft Graph and, using some of those REST endpoints. Okay, so let's talk a little bit more about, the .NET side of things a little bit more deeply. So as I mentioned, there are a number of different SDKs, and of course, the ones that we're going to be most interested in are the .NET ones, the Xamarin ones, and then, basically the UWP ones. And of course, because it's .NET, really this is just one library that implements .NET standard 1.1, and so it's flexible and consistent across all of these different endpoints. And so it's going to be one of your main ways for actually working with Microsoft Graph information. But if you're interested, there's also other SDKs for other different environments. So all the .NET ones are generally available and supported. We have a generally available SDK for Android. We also have generally available SDKs for the web side of things. So we have an Angular SDK, a JavaScript SDK, a PHP SDK. And there's a number of preview SDKs for things like iOS and Ruby and Python. And of course, last but not least, we're always updating our tools, including Visual Studio. So there's great ways to connect inside of Visual Studio to Microsoft Graph to get a jump start on working with some of it through Visual Studio as well. Now for .NET more specifically, you can just go to NuGet. It's the Microsoft.graph package that's available on NuGet.org. As I mentioned, it targets .NET standard for kind of the broadest level of support. So as you're building your applications, you can, whether it's a Xamarin application, whether it's maybe a type of UWP application, you can connect through .NET standard. What it basically provides is IntelliSense and sort of strongly typed objects. So rather than structuring URLs and parsing JSON objects, who really wants to do that? You'll get these sort of standard response objects that make your life, just a little bit easier, that provide IntelliSense inside of the tools so that you can actually go find the right resources fairly quickly. It does do some advanced scenarios as well, a little bit of helpers. So for example, if you're working with a large file, if you're doing that through REST, that can be multiple calls sometimes for uploading, let's say, a multiple, multiple 100 megabyte type of file. Well, with the .NET APIs, there are some helpers that allow you to go ahead and very quickly just work with things like large files. So that's just available through NuGet. So let's take a look at this, this sort of the .NET SDK. So I'm going to go to a different sample here. And so now we're going to switch gears and go onto the web. So this is just a web application. It's an ASP.NET MVC application that uses .NET. You'll probably recognize the sample. It's the ASP.NET MVC template. And in this case, what we're going to do is on the server side of this application, we're going to go call out to Microsoft Graph, go use our client identifier, our client secret, go connect to Microsoft Graph, and then go retrieve the set of OneDrive files that are available to me. So this is the ASP.NET template. There's a files tab. And what you'll see here is it's going to go ahead and just pull in all the files that are from my OneDrive account. So in this case, it's just pulling in different types of metadata about those files. It's got the identifier of them, the title, the created, the modified. I can do things like delete files, or I can just go ahead and maybe upload a file if I so choose, but you get the idea. It's frequently when you're building applications, what you want to do is just work with files, have a way to store binary storage. OneDrive is kind of this ubiquitous file storage tool that people in enterprises with Office 365 have. So, you know, you can imagine that if you need a way to simply stash some structured information, some binary data, if you want to work with a user's documents or PowerPoint files, OneDrive is a really great capability for that. It's a really a great tool for developers. So keep OneDrive in mind, and you can access that for basically standard file operations through Microsoft Graph. So let's take a look at the code behind this. So in my case, let's go switch over to that particular project. Let me go zoom in. So again, you'll see a lot of files in here. This is really just because that comes from the ASP.NET MVC template. But in this particular case, you'll see that there's essentially a files controller here that instantiates this object called a files repository. And if I go drill into that, you'll see that what happens is when that website first boots up and it wants to go show you a list of my files, it's going to go instantiate this Microsoft Graph service, which is something that comes from the Microsoft Graph SDK. That's kind of the central hub of working with Microsoft Graph from a .NET perspective. And then what you'll see here is basically the benefit of these .NET Graph APIs. You'll see that you can just simply use IntelliSense in this case. You know, for example, let me just go stop this so you can see. But you can see that, you know, I can go ahead and, you know, work with things like organizations or groups or all the other top level objects. Or if I just want to go to me, you can see all the different types of, different objects that are available to me. So if I want to, you know, maybe work with my contacts instead, I can do something like that. And then you can sort of, you know, work through this and actually do things like queries and filters, all on top of that using standard .NET semantics. So, I started off by showing you a little bit of, you know, working with REST and JSON, but this provides a lot easier way to do that, and that's available through the Microsoft Graph SDK and that set of libraries. Now, if you actually scroll down, you'll see, you know, here we have a very simple, you know, request for actually uploading a file. So all I do here is I say I want to go get the set of children, and then I just want to add a new item to that. And so to do that, I'm going to go create a new file, and then go upload the binary content associated with that, the file stream. And, you know, with basically about 5 lines of code, you can go stash items inside of, Microsoft Graph. So this is just a really simple, you know, usage of the Microsoft Graph SDK to go build a web application in this case. You can imagine, you know, using the Graph SDK on that Xamarin application, you can really mix and match and use REST directly versus go ahead and work with the files as you see fit. So one other quick sample that I want to show you. Now this is a little bit more conceptual. This is a little bit more of what you can do with Microsoft Graph. So imagine for a second that you work for a real estate company. You know, what you work with is properties. You know, working with properties, buying them, selling them. Those are sort of the centerpiece of, you know, how you collaborate with your customers, how you collaborate with your colleagues. And so properties are really important. If you think of Office 365, you can think of that as a set of collaboration components that you should hopefully be able to reuse and integrate into your application to add collaboration capabilities to your application. So in this case, I've got a Xamarin application. Let me go switch over to it, called Property Manager. And what this is going to do, in this case, I've already started it up. It's running on my Android emulator. What I've got is actually a list of properties that are relevant to me. These are the things that, as a real estate realtor, that I can actually go collaborate on and that I want to go share with. And when I click on these, what you'll see is that what I'll get here is basically a view of this particular property, but there's really interesting collaboration components on top of this. So, for example, I can have conversations around a property. I can say, you know, we have a buyer, and maybe we can go communicate out to my colleagues or to my customers, like so. There's communication capabilities, there's, you know, file capabilities. So for example, I can go and, maybe share some pictures of that particular property. And so it'll log me into Microsoft Online and I can go sign in and look at that file. Of course, you could also pull down the binary and actually integrate it into your application. And then there's also tasks. So for example, if we're getting ready to sell the house, maybe now there's a set of tasks that we have to go commit, like, get final property paperwork, something like that, like so. Let's see if this will work. There's tasks behind it as well. Well, of course, the punchline to this application is that all these different capabilities are implemented in Office 365 using the applications. You know, so for example, Conversations is implemented on top of Outlook and Groups. Files is implemented with SharePoint, so it's pulling down the files from SharePoint and just integrating them straight into my application. And Tasks is using Microsoft Planner, so creating tasks is sort of the way I work with it. So if I actually go back to my Office 365 tenancy, what you'll see here is when I open up Planner, for example, I can go ahead and find, what was the name of the property I was working at, 320 Madison Street. What you'll see here is that task that I added through my Xamarin application in Android is now available inside of Microsoft Planner. So now I get all the tools of Microsoft Planner at my disposal to then go add new buckets, you know, completed, for example. And you know, I can use Microsoft Planner to go organize them. So again, through some simple APIs, you can get sort of the full power of all the capabilities of Office 365 integrated into your application. So you know, you can imagine this same exact example for SharePoint. You know, as I uploaded files, they got uploaded to a SharePoint repository. If you're in an organization, frequently they're going to probably want to make sure that they tightly track all those files and they have the right compliance on them. So if you want to add a file capability to your application, but you want to make sure that all the IT folks are happy and that, you know, all of your documents are compliant, you know, you can integrate SharePoint into your application through Graph, and you get all of those sort of compliance benefits for free. Famous last words, for free. But you get all those compliance benefits that come from having your documents hosted inside of SharePoint, where there's a lot of compliance tools and organizational policies that people can put into place. So definitely something to think about as you're working with your you know, working with your business applications. You know, there are these sort of sets of building blocks that you can integrate into them via Microsoft Graph. So for this particular sample, let me just show you the implementation. Now this one, I didn't write the application, but what the person who implemented it did, they basically built a couple of wrappers on top of the REST APIs. So what you can see here is, you know, for example, as people add new files to, you know, add new files into their files tab of their property, what it's going to do is basically just go ahead and get a group, get the identifier of a group that represents that property. Every property has a backing group. And then what it's going to do is it's going to go find the related drive for that. And then it's going to go put content into that drive. So this is a really cool feature of Graph. If you're used to working with a person's personal OneDrive, and then you want to go work with a group's OneDrive, it's basically the same set of APIs, the same set of URL syntax. You know, you can write the same libraries of code that work with them, whether you're storing files for a person or for a group or for, you know, a SharePoint site, those kinds of things. So a really cool capability. One other thing I should mention, you know, the other nice thing about Microsoft Graph more recently is we've actually unified a lot of the APIs. So if you want to work with OneDrive consumer services in addition to OneDrive for organizations, it's a consistent API there as well. So you have that ability to, you know, maybe build a mobile application that lets users sign in with their personal OneDrive or with their organizational OneDrive, depending on, you know, the kinds of files that they're working with maybe. And it's just one code base for you. So good stuff. Okay, let's see. I want to talk a little bit about authentication. So as I mentioned, there's basically two components to, you know, working with Graph. The first part of it is working with the authentication and working with Azure Active Directory to go authenticate. That's part one, and that's frequently the part where, you know, maybe it's probably the hardest part is just making sure that you get your authentication correct and you get your library all set up. We saw the sample earlier that used MSAL, and hopefully you saw that it was basically a few lines of code, so maybe it wasn't that hard. But, you know, that said, it is something that frequently people want to go review. So to get started, you can go register through that website that I showed you earlier at apps.dev.microsoft.com. There's also Azure Active Directory inside of your Azure portal, which you can also go use to go register applications if you so choose, but you're frequently going to want to go use apps.dev.microsoft.com. Now, you can use libraries like MSAL to actually, you know, manage the process of getting an OAuth token for you. There's an older version of this library called the Active Directory Authentication Library, or ADAL, that you'll probably find in use as well. So you can use ADAL or MSAL, but of course MSAL is newer. It has the ability to work with both, you know, consumer services and enterprise services, so it's probably the preference. And then from there, what will happen is a standard OAuth flow that these libraries will handle for you. So this is standard OAuth 2. You know, what you're going to do is you're going to go call into the Microsoft Identity System, Azure Active Directory. You're going to pass in your client token. What you're going to get back once you sign in is sort of an authentication token, an access token and a refresh token. The access token can be used over the course of a couple of hours. The refresh token is an additional token that you use to, you know, refresh that access token as you see fit and if the user grants you permission to have it. And then once you have that magic access token, you know, as you saw in the first sample I showed you, you just put that into the header of your requests, or you pass it into the Microsoft Graph libraries, and then you can access all the Microsoft Graph properties as you see fit. Now, there's two permission models for Microsoft Graph. The first idea is that you can basically sort of have the user sign in. The user will have to consent to the permissions of your application, and if they do so, you're basically signed in on behalf of that user. Now, this is typically what you see people do inside of mobile applications on iOS. You sign in as yourself and you grant permission, or maybe web apps, those kinds of things. Basically, any user can go ahead and consent. So, you know, although in Office 365 tendencies, an administrator can choose to turn this off, by and large, you know, most users inside of, you know, Azure Active Directory organizations can go, you know, connect to applications and have it sign in. And if they consent, it can go access information. And the permissions that you get back are basically the intersection of the permissions that the user has intersected with the permissions that the application requests. So if your application requests the ability just to see SharePoint sites, you know, and you're signed in as, you know, Mike, you're only going to get to see the SharePoint sites that I have access to, which is a small subset, of course, of all the SharePoint sites at Microsoft. So you're really just getting that intersection. And oh, by the way, you can't access my files if you didn't specifically ask for that permission. Now, there is also this idea of basically sort of a userless type of permission model, where if you're implementing a service that's doing something like a migration operation, or, you know, maybe you want to do some type of scanning or sort of research into that, you're building a daemon, you can then go sort of ask for admin type privileges. Now, that's only something that somebody in an Office 365 tendency, an Azure Active Directory tendency, that the administrator can consent to, so you need to have them consent to that. And then, of course, when you get that consent, your application runs with whatever permissions that administrator has given you. So you can write applications that scan all of the site collections. Now, of course, you know that you know, in many organizations there's tens of thousands of sites, so you obviously are always going to want to be very careful about that. But you know, through that type of permission mechanism, you can build different types of service and daemon applications. Okay, so I just want to show you this very briefly. So one of the applications that I have is, you know, maybe I'm building a service that, you know, what the service does is it sort of, you know, wants to make sure that, you know, as people upload files inside of a OneDrive, what will happen is it'll go ahead and create a task inside of Planner for someone else to go scan and review a particular piece of content. So to do that, what I have is basically an Azure function. So this Azure function is over here. So Azure Functions, as we probably all know, hopefully, is a great way to take your C# and you know, basically .NET code and run it in a simple, you know, one-off type of function that's, you know, fairly efficient and only, you know, only runs when it's actually called into. So Azure Functions are pretty cool and pretty powerful. So in this case, you can see at the top of my Azure function, go hide this real quick, you can see that I've got my simple run method, which is, you know, basically my web service entry point. When you write, you know, this Azure function, in this case, it's basically a webhook that's going to intercept graph calls. You have to do a bit of validation when somebody subscribes to the service for the first time. When somebody does, what we're going to do basically is take a user's OneDrive file repository. We're going to basically hook a webhook so that anytime somebody in that OneDrive changes a file, it's going to call into this web service. And so the first time that happens, you have to do a validation type of process. You have to make sure that the token that's being passed in is valid and legitimate, and that you're okay with it, you know, getting incoming requests coming from Microsoft Graph. And in this case, I've got some simple code here that will do this. It'll say, if I see a validation token coming into this web service, and it looks correct and it looks valid, then I'm going to return HTTP 200, a successful request. Where is that? Oh yeah, up here, httpstatuscode.ok, and that tells Microsoft Graph that your web service is able to receive incoming notifications and incoming requests. And then what you see below this is some simple code to go parse this type of request, go validate some of the incoming information that's coming in. And then what we're going to do is we're going to go call, let me go down a little bit further. You can see what we're going to do is we're going to get an updated access token. Now, what I've done in this particular function is I've actually stored a refresh token. There's better ways to do it, and if you had a full website, you'd probably have a better system for actually getting refresh tokens from users, but in this case, I have a fixed one. What it's going to go do is it's going to go take that token and then go call into the Microsoft Planner Graph APIs to go update and create new tasks. So you can see, you know, just code very similar to what you've already seen for accessing Microsoft Graph Services. And then what I'll do here is go structure a JSON blob with my new planner task. I'm going to pass in the title of my planner task. I'm going to pass in the start time and the due date for that planner task. It's just a simple JSON blob. And then I'm going to go post that into my graph endpoint and thereby create a new planner task. So you can see here I have an Azure function that does just takes an incoming notification and converts that, in a sense, into a planner task all through Microsoft Graph. Now, to actually go ahead and register this, what I'm going to do is I'm just going to go back to Graph Explorer, which is a nice tool, as we saw earlier. In this case, I already have it here. I'm just going to do a post request to v1.0/subscriptions. What I'm going to say here is, anytime a file changes inside of my OneDrive repository, go ahead and call this notification URL. Sorry, maybe it's a little hard to read, but this is the URL of my Azure function. The kind of thing that I'm interested in notifications upon is the set of files that are in my OneDrive, the /me/drive/root. And here's an expiration time for my webhook. I think they can only last for 3 or 6 months. I forget which. Look it up online. But you have to have an expiration date for your webhook. And if this is a really long-running business process, you're going to want to have a way to update your webhooks over time. And then when I do this, if I go run the query, what you should see is that it sort of returned success and said that this notification was successfully registered. If I go back into my Azure function, oh, darn it. Let me do this one. I think my logging stopped. Let me go refresh this real quick. Back into my Azure portal. I want to make sure the logging works so they can see the validation request go through. Let's go back. As you can see, I've got a lot of Azure functions. I love Azure functions and other cool things in Azure. But let's go back to the function we were looking at. Go over here. Okay, this is my C# trigger. Let's go open up the logging and make sure that this thing is logging all fine. It hasn't timed out like this. Every time I hit save and if I make changes, it'll go ahead and recompile my sample. And yeah, see, I get a compilation succeeded. Okay, let's try that request one more time. Okay, so I'm going to register another webhook. Again, I get a success. And you can see here that it basically, my Azure function, the log says it started the, it came in. It basically realized that this is a validation request. It received a validation token, and then it basically returned 200 OK to validate that was OK. And so now my webhook is registered. Now, I've already registered this webhook like several times, so every time a file updates in my OneDrive, I'm going to get multiple notifications. That's not a great idea, but in a real world, you'd want to be a little bit more sophisticated about how you manage that subscription process than just running Graph Explorer multiple times. But yeah, so now this webhook is all registered. And so now if I go ahead and just go into my OneDrive file and then I go make a change, like so, maybe just rename the file to bike maintenance manual or something like that, and hit save. Now I've changed something inside of my OneDrive. And so what you should see is that you'll get an incoming notification and then that will go fire. Now these notifications do run a little bit on a backing timer. So they're not necessarily instantaneous or real time. They maybe have a minute or two before they actually go and validate. But basically, while we wait for it, what you would see here is, it's going to go run through my service. It's going to go parse out that response. It's going to go find the file and then go post a task. So it'll go ahead and do that. Well, I probably won't stick around and wait for it, but you get the idea. You can use webhooks. You can use these types of notifications to, really sort of add lots of custom business logic and to really be responsive to the kinds of changes that happen inside of your organization, through Microsoft Graph. And the other thing that showed was just a little bit of some of the authentication process that we have. I was able to, I basically stored an OAuth token and then I used it to refresh and get a new authentication token. But you would want to have your sort of a more robust sign-in system for any kind of web applications you build. Okay, so with that, we sort of have covered sort of the real end-to-end of Microsoft Graph. So, we talked a little bit about the fundamentals, the kinds of things that you can access through it. We talked about the Microsoft.NET APIs that you can use, the NuGet package, and how you can use that inside of an application. Talked a little bit about Azure Functions and how those work together. So hopefully you've got this sense of the kinds of scenarios you can build and the kinds of SDKs and APIs that are available to you. If you look at our roadmap, there's just a lot more coming. So, you know, we have a number of new services that are generally available. We have a lot that's in preview, that's in beta. So you can, you know, work with those things like Microsoft Teams data, things like, you know, SharePoint lists. Those are sort of currently in preview. We're working on them. We may change some of those APIs before we actually go generally available, but those are available for you to experiment with. And then, you know, we have more capabilities that are coming as well. So, you know, of course, there's SDKs across all the different platforms we talked about. There's Delta queries. There's extending graph with your own data. And we're adding more webhooks. We're adding more sort of queries, you know, query filtering capabilities as well. And, you know, things like batching are also sort of being worked on as well. And, of course, we have the Microsoft Ignite conference coming in a week. So stay tuned for all the videos and the kinds of content that you'll see coming from that. That'll help you sort of, you know, explore Graph even more in addition to new announcements and those kinds of things. So with that, we sort of have talked a lot about Microsoft Graph. We're on Stack Overflow at Microsoft Graph. We have a GitHub repository that's full of samples, including the ones that I showed you today, the Xamarin Property Manager, the MSAL sample and those kinds of things. And of course, we're available on Twitter. So with that, I want to thank you for coming. And you know, if there's any questions, I'll be here to answer them. A quick question about Project Rome. I think there's just some enthusiasm about, you know, why is it still in beta? I want to use it in my app. It's being worked on. And yeah, with that, thank you very much.